Work it, make it, do it. Makes us harder, better, faster, stronger.
Campbell on second down and 5.5. Looks right, comes back to the left. Going long for Gordon. He's out there and he caught the ball at the 20, at the 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
Unbelievable catch, unbelievable throw.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Takes the snap, Dalton back, looking near side, throws it, picked off, and an open run. It's Joe Hayden, and he's in, touchdown!
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagora.
I don't know where to start here today, Nathan. It's a tough one to even get started. You just used a word I liked, though, before we went on there. You used the word unburdened. So
I feel that way. I mean, at this point, it is what it is. They're 4-7. We've been excited or tried to get excited. And now there's very little reason. I remember something you said stuck with me a few weeks ago, that when they showed the In the Hunt graphic, that the Browns were still listed in the hunt. Well, Sunday Night Football,
they're out of the graphic.
They were no longer included in the hunt graphic. So, it's unfortunate. It's horrible the way that the last two games have gone, and the fact that our offense has generated two touchdowns while the opponent's defense has generated two touchdowns. The opponent's special team has generated touchdowns. So over two games, the opponent's defense and special teams has outscored the Browns. And we're going to get into all the bad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I've got one good, and I do. And it's twofold. Number one, I thought the competitive nature and the will showed by Josh Gordon throughout that game to still play hard and catch 14 passes, set a team record with 237 yards with a touchdown, was phenomenal. And those numbers were great. But what I really loved came after the game. And when he was asked about that, setting the record, I mean, that was the best receiving game anyone who's ever worn a Cleveland Browns uniform has ever worn. That was the best one in the history of this storied franchise, organization, etc. And here's what he was asked. It's saying, on tying the team's single-game receptions record and breaking the single-game receptions yards record. And I quote Josh Gordon, "Honestly, it doesn't really mean that much to me. After taking a loss like that, it means nothing. It's great for me as a wide receiver to get that experience, but if we can't go out there and win, I really don't care about it." And to me, when you talk about a guy, this is a very young man. He's younger than you would think for being a second-year player in the NFL. For him to have a day like that in this me-first era, and there was a guy who at times we'd question his body language, to take a quote that could have easily been attributed to Calvin Johnson when he was setting records last year for Detroit and not winning, and saying the exact same things,
right,
shows so much growth to me and gives me so much hope that not only can he be the physical talent I've always known he could be, but that he's maturing as a player and as a man and has the potential to be one of the true pillars of this team when it gets to that level of sustained success we keep hearing about. And I thought that was, if I'm going to take one thing away from this game that's positive, because really that might be the only thing you can, it was that. It was the performance and then the maturity after the fact shown by Josh Gordon.
I go along with his reaction. That was probably the bigger thing. I thought the numbers, the record, and this is what I commend him for, he recognized it as really the hollowest of accomplishments there could be. Much of it, most of it accomplished in garbage time. It really had no significance. It just shows you the fallacy of what numbers can mean, the total catches, the yards. You know, it's going to sit in a record book, and they're going to say, wow, he had a big day that day. But it was, and to his credit, he recognized it was really a small day because it did nothing to help the Browns win a game or even be competitive. It was worthless. It was beyond worthless. And I give him credit for effort. And again, I give him the most credit for recognizing the reality of the fallacy that was his record. And that's really what this is. Yes, it's an official record. It goes in the books. Nothing to celebrate and nothing for him to take away from, nothing for the team to take away from. It was another dreadful offensive game. I think this game was highly discouraging. Now, from the standpoint of the loss itself, not going to sit here and say I'm shocked that the Browns lost this game. I worked really hard, as you did, on Friday, to make a case for them to come out with a win, starting with the base understanding that both teams had 4-6 records, that was once an 0-4 team. trying to, and that's a team that we've seen kind of age in the secondary, although, man, some of those people like Troy Polamalu, God bless him, looked like he took 10 years off his career and was a much younger, faster. He looked like the Troy of old and or Troy of young. And a lot of that is because the Browns let him do that. A lot of that is the Browns' ineptitude wasn't good enough to take advantage of whatever weaknesses the Steelers had. It's troubling that we know, even though we know what the Browns are not or what they weren't going into that game, it raises even more questions. It made me wonder about how long this path is going to be for them to get good. We've been clinging to a level of optimism that okay, in the draft in May, they're going to fix a lot of these issues on offense. I can't sit here with a straight face and say I truly believe they can fix everything they need to fix. There's a lot of fixing to be done, number one. And number two, I have no idea who the quarterback will be that can take this team to where it needs to go. I think that's the as big a mystery now as ever. And some of that is tied in with what doesn't bowl me over from the collegiate aspect, but it's still that evaluation process to me is still a little early. For my own personal studying of it, I'm going to be a little more diligent about it through these next 5 weeks because I believe we are at that point where it is looking ahead. And you just got to say it. What we're looking at for the next 5 weeks is going to be extremely tough from a focus standpoint. The other thing that's bothersome, you can see the cracks in the armor. You can see the divisiveness that's kind of falling in here. Eventually, the defense can't hold back its frustration. T.J. Ward could not hold back his frustration as to the turnovers, all the things that are happening on the offensive side of the ball, and he let loose on a lot of that, or at least as much as he could. Joe Hayden shared similar frustration over what's happening, especially at the quarterback position. And, you know, Jason Campbell's concussion, which is going to lead this team to have to sign a quarterback, and Rob Chudzinski, who will hopefully be joining us shortly, will tell us more about that. But he said in a news conference that they are looking at different options and expected to have a quarterback signed this week, and hopefully he can give us a little more detail about that when he's on the show. But that even the Campbell part of the story, because the offense really was going nowhere with Jason Campbell there, and it did even less when Brandon Whedon took over. We're going to let him get settled, but the head coach of the Browns, Rob Chudzinski, just walked into the studio. And we're going to get him on in this segment, and we truly appreciate the fact that he is able to come in here and make some time for us on his usual Monday spot. Coach gets the headset on. Okay, there we go. Coach, thank you, first of all, for being in here with us. Let's start with what I just brought up as far as the quarterback situation and as it applies to finding someone else to come in. You said you had a lot of options. You just said a short while ago in your news conference. Can you just walk us through where that is and what you mean by those options?
Well, we're looking at all the possibilities out there, whether it's guys that are free agents right now available, practice squad guys that are maybe on different teams and so forth. So that's the pool of the players that you would be looking at and we're looking at. And you know, we'll look through that and sort through that and, you know, see how Jason's status is in the next few days as well.
But the likelihood, as you said before, Brandon Whedon would be starting this game against Jacksonville.
Yes.
Coach, coming off of a game like this, two tough games in a row, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, with the final five games before you, what do you say to the team after a loss like this against the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Well, obviously, losing is never acceptable. It's something that you don't want to happen, and everybody's, you know, upset, frustrated, and disappointed. And, you know, that's part of what happens when you lose. But the only thing that you can control is going forward, and that's what we talked about. You know, we have five games. It's a five-game season for us. And, you know, it starts this week with the game against Jacksonville. And, you know, we'll get our guys back and ready to play. And, you know, we'll make the corrections and we'll improve. And that's what we want to do is improve you know, and take a step every week and work to take a step every week. It's not always going to happen the way you want it to. You're not always going to have the results. But overall, you know, we're working to try to make those type of improvements.
And, Coach, is it hard for you to feel that that message gets through to players? Do you look – I know you can only see by their performance if it's registering by what they do rather than maybe what they say. But when you're looking in that room and looking in that meeting room and looking into the eyes of these guys, what are you looking for?
Well, we're looking for a response and guys – you know, who are excited about playing and getting better and improving. And like I said, you know, it's a process that you go through as you look at these type of games. And obviously the last couple of weeks we've had some disappointing losses. You look for the things that we're improving and getting better at. And there are some of those things. There are signs that we're taking steps in the right direction. And obviously the result of the game and the win and the loss is the most important thing. But you find, you know, that we are making some strides in some other areas.
Coach, one thing when I came on the show today, I wanted to talk about something that I felt good about. And one of the things was Josh Gordon, not his performance per se, which was a record-setting performance for this franchise, but the way he spoke after the fact, saying that to me, I really don't care if we don't win records, yards, big deal to me, basically, was the gist of it. How has he matured as this season's gone on, and what do you take from his comments there?
Well, I think that's a real sign of how he is maturing. And, you know, again, I've talked about it a lot that, you know, he's not perfect yet, and none of us are. You know, and he has, ways to go as a player, and he's continuing to learn and get better at his craft. But he's come a long ways, and, you know, I think that's evident of that in those comments.
When you try to break down the reasons that things haven't worked for this team offensively, especially these last couple of games, as you assess it, where do you go first? I mean, what in your short list, what are some of the things that are just not working for you, or the things that you look at and say, hey, we really have to fix this, this, and this?
Yeah, well, I mean, it starts the most glaring and obvious one is we have to take care of the football. And, you know, that's in this league. That's critical. You know, we have to create turnovers, and we have to take care of the football ourselves. And you see it on a week-to-week basis all across the league in all the games that you watch and you see. And so that's the first thing that we have to do. We have to continue to get better at the execution, and particularly in certain areas and in different times. And yesterday you saw it show up, you know, as we got into plus territory and we got down towards – the red zone area, we had a number of drives where we just stalled at that particular point. And offensive football is about 11 guys doing their assignment. And if you have one breakdown, most of the time on offense, that's going to be a critical error. Sometimes on defense, you can overcome it because, you know, somebody gets a sack, even though somebody was beat deep or those type of things. But, you know, everybody has to be working in harmony on the offensive side. And, you know, that's where it's one guy here, it's one guy there, it's you know, maybe a penalty, it's a mental mistake, whatever it is, a turnover, and those were the things that hit us yesterday that you know, caused us the issues that we had.
Coach, when you were in Carolina, you had a receiver, Steve Smith was the main guy. You had a good tight end, Greg Olsen. Here you got Gordon, you got Cameron. How can the secondary guys, we saw it against Baltimore, and that, surprise, surprise, the offense played great and you won that game. Greg Little, Devon Bess, they seem to be so up and down. How can you go about perhaps kind of getting them to be more consistent in this offense, or is it just a function of, like you said, everybody working together?
Yeah, I mean, everybody has to be on top of their game when you're playing offense, and when the opportunities come, you have to make them happen, and that's the difference between winning and losing is making plays when you have those opportunities. And when you're playing a team like Pittsburgh, when you're playing, you know, some of the top teams, you know, that you know we've had the opportunity to play the last few weeks, you know, there's the margin for error isn't there. You have to be able to do it and do it in the time, at the time when it's important. So we just you have to continue to work, guys. Continue to focus. Again, make corrections. You know, we're young in the system that we're running. There's things that these guys are learning on a day-to-day basis, and you know that over time, as you have a system installed, you know, the experience in the system makes a difference where you can look back and say, hey, remember 3 years ago when we were running this play and doing this, that, you know, what you did? And those are the type of things that we're building to.
When you talk about building, granted the games didn't go as you wanted, but for a young team, young in the system, as you said, how important is it at least to even have the experience of playing these games that are that tense and that actually do mean that much, even if the outcome obviously is not what any of us would have wanted?
Yeah, obviously the outcome is winning, and that's what you want. But playing in, you know, being in the hunt and playing in these type of games is good experience. And you like to think if we approach it the right way, which we are and which we've talked to our guys about, that down the road these experiences – you know, will help in the future in us in performing and approaching and, you know, having success in these types of games.
Coach, everybody gets criticized under these circumstances, and you're no exception. You took a lot of hits regarding maybe a lack of aggressiveness where you had been very aggressive previously. Some people in media, fans and such, were ripping on you on that count. I did notice you were trying to run a fake punt at one point, and then it looked like the Steelers got a timeout called. So you were going for something that stuck to the script of aggressiveness. But how do you respond to those who felt that maybe you were not aggressive enough yesterday, especially?
Yeah, I don't really know how they define aggressiveness because, like you just said, you noticed that we were faking a punt as far as blitzing and coming after the quarterback. Our blitz percentage was as high as it's been in any of the last few games, and particularly you look at the Baltimore game, I think it was the exact same percentage of blitzes. You know, Pittsburgh did a good job. Give them credit. They got the ball out quick. They threw a lot of little quick screens to the receivers, we weren't able to get to the quarterback. And, you know, the times that, you know, we did have chances, we weren't able to generate the pressure that we had. So, the result was we didn't generate the pressure on the quarterback that we would have liked. I don't know that that's necessarily based on – well, I know it's not necessarily based on the amount of times we pressured or blitzed. And as far as offensively, we're always working to score, and we wanted to get some shots and some big plays. They're a very tough team to get that. That's traditionally what they do so well.
Can you make any major changes strategically through these last five games to maybe fix some things or get better performance? Or are you what you are as an offense and a defense this late in the season?
Well, I think there's always things you can do. You can't make any major overhauls at this point. I don't feel like we need to. I think we just need to get better at what we're doing, and we'll make some tweaks schematically and some things we can do from a coaching standpoint to do better and get better. We'll go, you know, these next five games again starting this week, and our guys will be excited to get going against Jacksonville and the opportunity that we have to play again this weekend at home.
The Browns gave up two passing touchdowns in the first five games combined. They've given up at least two in each of the last six. What do you think has been kind of the change in the effectiveness of the pass defense?
Well, you know, I think that you have to look at the where they're happening. One of the things that we've really focused on is red zone, based on, you know, coming out of the break. And then after last week, that's really been a big point of emphasis. I think we played better red zone defense yesterday. We held Pittsburgh to a field goal there at the end of the half in the red zone. And you know, it's something that we're focusing a lot on in practice, doing some things against each other. So, again, those are the things we're trying to correct as we go.
And the red zone important, obviously, defensively and offensively, because that's how you score. And early in the season, Jordan Cameron was a monster in the red zone, was an absolute force. Kind of seems to be lost, and, you know, we'd heard last week maybe there's some communication issues, et cetera. What have you seen with Jordan Cameron, and what do you think the best way to get him going once again is?
Yeah, no, I think that as you look at it, and I think I saw the quote what Jordan was talking about, I think that accurately, it would have been that people are paying him a lot more attention,
sure,
and trying to disrupt the timing of the routes and, you know, hitting them off the line of scrimmage and those type of things. So, which they are. And anytime that you're showing that you're a playmaker and you're going to make plays, people are going to pay you more attention. And that's one of the things that they do at the tight end position to try to disrupt that timing. We're working to get him the ball. He had some opportunities yesterday. He had a big third down conversion, and there were some other times where we had some chances and just weren't able to get it to him. But, you know, we're looking for those opportunities. Obviously, Josh came up big and had a big game yesterday. So, you know, between those two guys and then other guys stepping up, that's what we're looking for.
This is going to be, obviously, because it's the holiday with Thanksgiving and such, and it's normal in the football. If you're not playing on that day, you're still practicing for a Sunday game. But to grab the focus of your players, to get everybody really in place where you want them to be with the game ahead, with this stretch of games ahead, is that going to make it any more challenging? Because I know as a coach, you like to balance football and family with these guys as well, or do things... You know, how are things affected by the calendar this week?
Well, we modify our schedule on Thursday on Thanksgiving Day. We'll still practice and have meetings and so forth, but we'll get them so they can get home and have some turkey dinner and you know, it's important. I mean, you know, Thanksgiving is a time for giving thanks for all that we have, and so, you know, we want those guys to be able to do that. Obviously, the focus of the week is getting ready to play Jacksonville, and these guys understand that, and they're professionals in that way, and we'll stress that as we go through the week.
All right. Chud, thank you so much for taking the time with us, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Coach.
Right. He is Rob Chudzinski, the head coach of the Browns, and joining us as he usually does right here on Monday on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on a Football Monday. We've got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.